This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Terms are still unclear for a two-week ceasefire deal between the U.S., Iran, and Israel. Israel, meantime, has continued to attack the Iran-backed Hezbollah in Lebanon, saying the militant group is not included in this deal. Chicago-area doctor Thayer Ahmad traveled to Lebanon in late 2024 to help healthcare workers. Ahmad says volunteers who are currently on the ground are concerned because they've seen the realities of a ceasefire before.
They're worried about civilian infrastructure. They're worried about the families who've been displaced not being able to go back ever, because there are some Israeli leaders talking about reoccupying lands in Lebanon. So there's just no clarity for them at all. And with the ceasefire, there were so many questions that were unanswered.
Ahmad says he's traveling to Lebanon in a few weeks, and he and his friends there are expecting the country to be unstable for a while. Illinois Republicans hope to combat rising gas prices by pausing a state sales tax on fuel. Illinois, since 2019, has seen an increasing tax on motor fuel. The gas tax is currently at 50 cents a gallon of regular gasoline. A bill proposed in Springfield would put a six-month pause on the sales tax that comes on top of that. Here's the bill's sponsor, Republican Representative Ryan Spain of downstate Peoria.
Pausing that sales tax on gasoline would immediately reduce the price of gas at current levels by 20 cents.
Gasoline prices across the country have risen during the war in Iran, and Spain says he hopes gas prices will drop significantly, but even if they do, families in Illinois still need additional relief. The Chicago Park District today is unveiling two temporary art installations as part of its Monument Response Project. This project is meant to spark deeper conversations about indigenous cultures and erasure. Sonia Henderson and Sadie Woods collaborated on the piece We Still Here. It sits alongside the General Philip Sheridan statue at Belmont and Sheridan on Chicago's north side. Sheridan helped secure the city after the Great Chicago Fire, but his troops also burned Native American villages and slaughtered their buffalo.
There are historic photographs of tens of thousands of bison just destroyed. And so Sadie and I constructed 16-foot long bison horns to surround the circular plinth.
The second installation, Tierra Nuestra by Hector Gonzalez, sits alongside A Signal of Peace in Lincoln Park. Both of these installations will be up for 2 years. And a potential super El Nino could be on the way, and Illinois experts say it may drive global temperatures even higher. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the European Climate Service Copernicus are forecasting a powerful El Nino to develop in the coming months and then strengthen into winter. Northern Illinois University meteorology professor Victor Gensini says a strong El Nino could push the planet to new heat records by late this year and into 2027. You're listening to The Rundown. It's been one blow after another for many migrants in Chicago throughout the last year. The Trump administration ended programs that allowed people to work and live in the U.S. legally, and without a steady income, finding affordable housing has become even harder. On top of that, these challenges make people particularly vulnerable to scams, and a new state housing law is only making a difficult situation worse. My colleagues Adriana Cardona-McGeegot and Esther Yunji Kang have been following one migrant family's struggle, and they bring us this story.
Daniela and her family of six have moved more than five times since they arrived in Chicago 3 years ago and lived in a migrant shelter. This February, they finally settled into a two-bedroom in South Shore where they felt comfortable, until there was a pounding at the door one Monday morning. Daniela says a woman came saying that this apartment was supposed to be vacant. She asked whom we were renting from, and she said the police were coming. Daniela and her family are from Venezuela. WBC is not sharing their full names to protect their privacy. Shortly after, Daniela says a police officer arrived and gave her family a week to leave the apartment. All this has been hard on the three kids. As they packed to move out, balloons still fill the living room from a birthday party they had for one of the kids a day before the police showed up. Daniela's sister Evelyn, a 9-year-old, breaks into tears. She was looking forward to having her own birthday party with her school friends, and she says she'll miss her teacher. My English was improving, and I wanted to get good grades, she says. But the family had no choice but to leave. They had just found out they had no legal right to be there. They were basically squatters.
Now, what Daniela's family didn't know was that there was a brand new law that went into effect just a month before. Many call it the squatter law. Michelle Gilbert with the Law Center for Better Housing explains.
If the police have probable cause to believe that the crime of criminal trespass is taking place, like the property was broken into and I see an empty place, then you don't have any rights as a tenant.
Landlords have been clamoring for this law for years. It makes it easier to remove squatters and avoid a months-long eviction process in the courts. But Gilbert says the squatter law doesn't really account for situations where a scammer breaks in and leases out abandoned homes to desperate people.
Just like Daniela and her family. They've been tired of living in one-bedroom apartments under cramped conditions. My mom, her partner, and two other kids usually shared one bedroom, she says. Me, my partner, and child used to sleep in the living room divided by a curtain.
En la sala, la dividimos con una cortina y dormía él, dormía yo y dormía mi hija.
So when a man who spoke fluent Spanish offered them a slightly bigger apartment for $1,000, just a little more than what they've been paying for their tiny one bedroom, they jumped at the chance, even though deep down it felt too good to be true. Daniela says they rented from a man who claimed to be the building manager, but they never got his full name. There was no paper trail, no lease, no receipts, just cash payments and an informal agreement that left them with zero protection. And there were other signs something wasn't quite right. The front door didn't lock, there was no central heat, the paint was peeling off, the apartment needed a ton of repairs.
But it was home to them, and now they were being kicked out without due process. And like other families who are scammed and then evicted, being forced out so quickly left them worse off than before. Here's Gilbert again with the Law Center on Better Housing.
If you have to move out immediately like that, you leave a lot of things behind. I mean, it's one of the ways that eviction makes people more poor.
Like for Daniela's family, they had to leave behind all their furniture and even the cart they used to sell empanadas, a source of badly needed income. So we wondered, is there anything that could have helped Daniela's family? We asked one landlord with extensive experience leasing to migrants. Chris Amator runs Manage Chicago, which oversees thousands of apartments for low-income renters. And in late 2023, at the peak of the migrant humanitarian crisis, he housed hundreds of new arrivals temporarily in his buildings. Since then, Amator has seen many of them struggle to find permanent housing.
It's really just math, though, you know, like they can't afford the market rents. You know, like post-COVID, it's literally like $2,000 to $2,700 for like a three-bed house or something of that nature.
He says things like credit score requirements and proof of income are hurdles for migrants. And of course, rising costs and inflation have made landlords jack up rents higher and higher.
I definitely sympathize with landlords because it's happened to me and it sucks, you know? You got a mortgage, you got everything. Like, hey, no one else is gonna care, right? Your bank doesn't care. The utility company's still gonna turn off the water or gas.
And so landlords feel like their hands are tied.
unfortunately, you know, compassion is not a rental system.
Still, Amator says there are humane ways to deal with families, especially those with young children and few options.
You talk to someone like a human being and just be like, I'm sorry this happened to you. How much were you going to pay a month? All right, well, let's do that for a couple months. Put them on a plan. Give them an opportunity.
Lately, he's been feeding homeless people throughout the city. And he started noticing something.
There are a lot of migrants now that I've seen. At first, I didn't see a lot, but I do see a lot more migrants under like the Canal Port Bridge and by 18th and Halsted over there and other areas.
He says as rents rise, aid runs out, and housing options dwindle, we'll likely see more and more migrants out on the streets and in tents.
Daniela hopes that won't happen to her family. After the police came, they feared that immigration agents would be the next ones at the door, so they scrambled to find an apartment, a more expensive one on the west side. It took weeks to enroll Evelyn and the other kids in their new school, and the family struggles to come up with rent each month. But their hope is that this time, the lease is legit, and that they can hold on to this apartment for as long as they can. Adriana Cardona Magigad
and Esther Yunji Kang, WBEZ News.
Weather, partly sunny, windy, and warm, high in the upper 60s. Tonight, cloudy and windy. Showers and thunderstorms are possible overnight, a low in the low 50s. And Thursday, partly sunny and warm, a high again in the upper 60s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thank you for listening.